أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل ادعوا الله أو ادعوا الرحمن، أيما تدعوا فله الأسماء الحسنى، ولا تجهر بصلاتك ولا تخافت بها وابتغ بين ذلك سبيلا، وقل الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا، وقل الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك وخلق ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعلى من استنى بسنته واهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين. السلام عليكم، جزاكم الخير ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Today we are going to be remembering a name of Allah that has two points of relevance. It has two points of relevance with the month that we are in. I recited to you the last verses from Surah Al-Isra, which Allah ends by saying, وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا, and magnify Allah and declare His greatness. And so we are looking today at Allah's names, Al-Kabir, Al-Akbar, Al-Mutakabbir, Al-Kibriya. All of these names are associated with the same meanings that are to be given to Allah. And these names have two points of relevance with the month that we are in. Who can tell me? Why is it relevant to remember this name in this month? Yes. MashaAllah, where have you been? Where have you been? Come sit here. Sheikh, come sit in your special place. And you cannot disappear like this again for so long. Sheikh, everybody here missed you. Okay, Bismillah, tell me, how is it relevant to the month we are in? Okay, Allah will give you great rewards. This is one element. What else? Okay, greatest 10 days of the year, correct? Something more specific. MashaAllah, the two sheikhs are present. Yes. Takbir. The idea of takbir, what does it have to do with these 10 days?
Because part of the pilgrimage, Hajj, people do takbir.
Okay. Part of the pilgrimage, the greater pilgrimage of Hajj, people do takbir. They declare the greatness of Allah. But also, the greatest dhikr, the greatest word of remembrance, the greatest way to remember Allah in these 10 days, the days of Hajj, is to say Allahu Akbar. And there's another point of relevance that may not come to many people's mind. Allahu Akbar, this word kibr, comes from the word kibr, which means pride. And we are also in another month called Pride Month. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And that's not the month in the Islamic calendar, but we'll come to that, inshallah, as we get on with the talk. In the Arabic language, this word, kibr. And kibr in the Arabic language refers to when a human being or when a person has a greater understanding of themselves than who they really are. An inflated understanding of who they are. I might be this small, but I think of myself as this big. This is the idea of kibr. And to see yourself as greater than somebody else, in comparison to somebody else. This is the idea of kibr. And then you have the word takabbur, which is to make extra effort to pretend to be greater than somebody else. So kibr is a feeling. Takabbur is to pretend to be bigger than you are. To walk and to sit and to act as though you are greater than who you really are. And then you have this idea or this name, the name that is given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, Al-Kibriya, which is when you refuse to submit to anybody else. That's what Kibriya means. I refuse to submit. And this name, this description is only given to Allah. All of this is how I describe human beings. But when kibr, takabbur, kabir, when these names are associated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, it has a slightly different meaning. The first I want to draw your attention to is something that we say many, many, many times a day, and we hear many, many times a day. And that is the words, Allahu Akbar. What does it mean to say Allahu Akbar? Yes.
It's like qiyama. It's like a small qiyama.
Yeah.
Because people are, everyone is equal. There's no king or queen or anything else.
Yeah.
Everyone is equal.
Yeah.
And they say Allahu Akbar. So to acknowledge that Allah is the greatest.
Allah is the greatest.
Qiyama is similar because everybody will be equal.
Okay, beautiful.
So it's like the name Allahu Akbar means there's no one above Allah.
Okay, so you're saying that we say Allahu Akbar in this month of Hajj, or it's the word that we remember Allah within this month of Hajj, because Hajj is the rehearsal for the Day of Judgment, this greater pilgrimage. And on the Day of Judgment, everybody will be equal, but that the greatest one will be the presence of Allah the Most High. People translate Allahu Akbar as Allah is the greatest, but that's not technically correct. What's technically correct translation? Yes. Allah is greater. It's a comparative word. Akbar. Afdalut tafdil. Right? When you say greater, in your head, you're automatically comparing to somebody else. When I say this bottle is larger, I've already got in my mind something that's smaller than it. It's relative. And so the beauty of the word Allahu Akbar is that when you use it, you automatically are comparing the greatness of Allah to everything else in your mind. Because Allah doesn't specify what He's greater than. And so it's everything. And so here you hear it in the call to prayer. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You hear it in the beginning of prayer, Salah. Allahu Akbar. You hear it in every movement in Salah, in prayer. Because this term, Allahu Akbar, or to declare Allah as great, as grand, as magnificent, it inspires in human beings this feeling of humility, this feeling of smallness. If I'm saying Allah is great, that means that I'm small, I'm insignificant. And so really this name, it reminds us of who we really are as human beings. Recently in the news, you have this recent news of the sinking of the Titanic submarine. And not very long before that, you had the sinking of the ship itself, the Titanic. And when the Titanic, many years ago, was sent out into the ocean, anybody remember what they said about the ship? Yes?
Even God himself could not sink.
They said even God himself could not sink the ship. That's what they said. And what happened to the ship? Right? What we see in the news and what we see around the world today is that human beings have decided that they are Akbar. They think human beings have come to decide that they are the greatest, they are the grandest, nobody can defeat them, they are invincible. And this arrogance, this human arrogance, this human pride has taken over all aspects of their life until they thought and until they think that we are so great, we decide the rules for ourselves. Nobody else decides the rules for me. I'm the boss. I decide the rules. And so, of course, I decide the rules related to gender. I decide the rules related to morality, related to right and wrong. And I'll be proud of what I do, regardless of who thinks it's good, bad, moral, immoral. It doesn't matter. And so being proud in sin and being arrogant in evil, this has become the state of humanity today. And one of the things that we experienced in the last year that brought humanity to its knees is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God sent the tiniest microscopic being. And this microscopic being locked the entire world in their houses and brought us to our needs. What was it? COVID. Allah says in the Quran,
إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي أَنْ يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوضَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا.
Allah is not shy to set an example. He can give the example of a tiny fly or something greater than that. But the point is for the message to reach you. But don't underestimate the creation of Allah. When Allah creates, He can bring you down with the smallest and most underestimated of creation. Humanity overestimates themselves. They are too proud, too arrogant. They think that science and technology, lasers and microscopes, have now made them so invincible they can do as they please. And every time humanity sets out a challenge to God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sinks the challenge. Whether it was a Titanic ship, whether it was some rocket, whether it was some submarine, whether it was a tiny microscopic, you know, being that brought the world to its knees to put us in our place. This is the spirit of takbir, is to remember your place. You are nothing. When you say Allahu Akbar, God is great, the greatest, greater, magnificent, grand, you remind yourself how small you are, how insignificant you are, how little you are, how incapable you are. And you lose this air of arrogance and pride. Instead, you become humble in front of God, in front of Allah. And this is why we say it as the entrance to prayer. Because you cannot enter salah, prayer, you cannot enter salah with arrogance and pride. And so it inspires humility, it inspires humbleness, it inspires respect. There are other names of Allah. When I say Allah is close, it inspires hope. When I say Allah is merciful, it inspires love. But yes, there are also other names of Allah, other aspects of Allah's descriptions and attributes which inspire fear, which inspire respect, which inspire humility in front of Him. I want you to imagine this moment. A Bedouin walks into a big palace in Arabia, or in Persia, or in Rome. And in front of this grand palace, with all of its wealth and all of its civilization, he feels so small and he feels so humble that he stands there like this with his head bowed. And he bows in front of his master, the master of civilization. This was always what would happen in history. But something changed when people started to realize that the only one they should bow down in front of is Al-Kabir, the greatest, the one greater than anything else. It made them realize that any human being, any technology, any power, any government, other than Allah, is saghir, it's small. It's lesser. And so you have this famous incident of Rub'i ibn Amir, rahmatullahi alayhi, this emissary entering the palace of Rustam, the grand emperor of Persia. And if you read any history book, the greatest empire in the history of the world was not Rome, it was the Persian Empire. And as he enters this Persian Empire, he enters this emperor's palace, He's a Bedouin Arab with tattered clothes, with no money to his name. He enters the palace and he stands there. And in Rustam's palace, everybody has to enter and they have to bow their heads to him. But this guy is walking in with his head up like this. He's not bowing his head. And Rustam is thinking, where did this guy get this dignity and this self-respect from? His guards say, we're gonna chop off this man's head. Why is he walking in with so much pride? Rustam says, no, let me see what he has to say. He walks in. And even today as Muslims, one thing that we always feel shy of, we feel inferior, we feel small, is only think about the advancements of other civilizations. Oh, we Muslims have not advanced in science, we've not advanced in technology, we are behind, we're this, we're backward. And so we feel this little inferior, we feel small. But as he walks in and he sees that this gentleman, Rustam, has so much and he has every advancement, he doesn't feel small. In fact, he feels quite dignified. And Rustam tries to humiliate him. He says, oh, you Bedouin Arab, what brought you out of the desert, you lizard eaters? And he then says, Rabi'i ibn Amr says a famous statement. جِئْنَا لِنُخْرِجَ الْعِبَادِ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ وَمِنْ جَوْرِ الْأَدْيَانِ إِلَىٰ سِعَةِ الرَّحْمَانِ. He said, I have come to free you from your slavery, Rustam. Rustam thinks, me? Slave? I'm the king. I'm the slave. Okay. He said, I have come to free you from your slavery to human beings and to free you to become a slave to God, the most merciful. And I've come to free you from the restrictedness of man-made religions into the freedom of Allah's religion. He walks in confident. And this is really what Allah's name, Al-Kabir, will give you. It'll give you the confidence. Anybody other than Allah is not invincible, is not great, is not special, is not all-powerful. Everybody other than Allah is just another creation of Allah. This is what gives Ibrahim alayhi salam the confidence to stand in front of Nimrud. And Musa the confidence to stand in front of Fir'aun. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam the confidence to stand in front of his great and powerful enemies. Because when you start to absorb this idea, Allah is Akbar, greater, you realize this guy is nothing. What is he going to fight me with? I have Allah behind me. I have Allah with me. Allah says in the Quran, فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, go, you are within our sights. Allah says to Musa, بِآيَاتِنَا أَنْتُمَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَكُمَ الْغَالِبُونَ With my signs, with my miracles, with my revelation, you're going to win. Nobody can defeat you. This power, this confidence, this strength, it comes from Allah because you realize He is the greatest. Muhammad Ali, not the Imam of the Masjid, the boxer Muhammad Ali, who knows what he used to call himself? He used to call himself the greatest. And in his boxing career, at one point in time, he fell ill for 6 months. He couldn't recover, he couldn't step back in the ring. After over a decade of a spotless performance, suddenly, he just falls ill. And when he is asked, when he makes his return to the ring, what happened, Mr. Muhammad Ali, the big talker? You're the big man, you're the boss of the ring, what happened? He says, I used to call myself the greatest until God reminded me He is the greatest. Allah sometimes makes us fall to humble us, to realize that actually we're not all that much. This is the spirit of takbir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some people sell the idea of God as loving, as merciful, and all of these nice things. But they forget that there is another aspect of Allah. We are to be humble in front of Him. We are to be respectful in front of Him. We are to be scared in front of Him. Because He is not just merciful, He is powerful beyond measure. And it is important to balance these two things, the fear and hope, the mercy and respect. We all have parents that we love. Our parents love us, they are merciful to us, they feed us, they hug us, they cuddle us. But the day that you mistake that mercy and love to mean that you can abuse your parents, and you stand up and you give them a word of abuse, and you feel a flying slipper catch you in the face, And you realize on that very day that love and mercy does not mean that that person is incapable of disciplining you, that that person is powerless. No, there is a balance. And this is just a human example. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He talks about Himself, He talks about Himself with these two angles, these two sides of the spectrum. Let me take you to Ayatul Kursi, the greatest verse in the Quran. Allah starts this verse describing Himself, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Allah, there is none worthy of worship, of love, of devotion but Him. He describes Himself as ilah, which is someone who's close to you, who looks after you, who is there when you need Him. By the time you get to the end of the verse, it is like Allah has zoomed out. وَلَا يَؤُدُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. He is the highest and the greatest. It is as though He's saying, when I say Allah is close and I'm inspiring you new hope and love of Him, don't think that that doesn't mean Allah is also great and He's the highest and He's beyond your imagination and He's beyond your control. These are the two sides we have to keep in mind when it comes to our Creator. And this is why the movements in Salah are movements of respect and humility. These are movements which have, for centuries, it has been preserved and saved for when you meet a king, when you meet an emperor, when you meet a sensei, a teacher, you come, you bow. You come, you prostrate your head on the ground. This was only saved for the greatest of people on this earth. And then when the final law came, the final Sharia came, now you bow only to your Creator. Everybody else is not Kabir anymore. Everybody else is not great. They have all become lesser than Him. I often make a joke to those people from Rochdale and Oldham. I say, you guys say you're greater Manchester. The people of Manchester may not agree. Wallahu Akbar. Allah is greater. In Surah Al-Isra, who can tell me what is Surah Al-Isra about? This chapter of the Quran that comes towards the center of the Quran. Yes? Okay, that is featured in the Surah. But what is the core purpose of the Surah? The core story that is revealed. Yes?
It's about the fall and
rise. Okay, the fall and rise of Bani Israel, but there's a particular event that takes place. Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. The night journey of the Prophet, peace be upon him, okay, from his house all the way to Jerusalem and all the way to the heavens and back. And what is revealed in this event? What ruling is given to him that now the Muslims have to follow? Salah. Now I want you to notice something beautiful about the structure of this surah. What is the first word of this surah? Subhanalladhi. The last word of this surah? وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا. Allah commands the Prophet ﷺ to declare that he is the greatest. And very soon after he descends from the heavens, what is the first thing that he says? Allahu Akbar. Salah is really about this. It's about tasbih and takbir. The idea of tasbih, subhanallah in Arabic, means you are rejecting anything to do, anything that is an abuse to Allah. When people say God has a son, God has a daughter, God is limited, God is powerless, you say Subhanahu amma yaquluna uluwan kabira. No way, Allah is not like that. Allah is far above that. Allah is beyond that. And you can only say that if you know him well. If I came to you and I said, you know your friend Umar? Umar is a thief, he's a liar. You would say, no, Umar's not like that. And you'd only say that if you know him very well. So tasbih, when you reject something negative said about someone, is only if you know them very well. And this is how salah starts. Allahu Akbar. What's the first thing you say? Subhanak. It is about rejecting everything, every imperfection associated with Allah. But then when you say Allahu Akbar, it brings humility in your heart. And this is why this surah, this chapter of the Quran, this last verse that I recited, وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا. Say, praise be to Allah who never took a son.
وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ And he has no equal in his kingdom. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِنَ الذُّلِّ And he has no close one who can humiliate him or can make him lower. وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا Sahl ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi رضي الله عنه narrates in Muslim Ibn Ahmad that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is reported to have said, هَذِهِ آيَةُ الْعِزَّةِ This is the verse that inspires dignity, respect, and might when you think of Allah. Allah has no son, no equal, no partner. He is alone and unique in this power that he holds. This is really the meaning of this verse. When, if you think about it, when does Allah want us to say this word, Allahu Akbar? We said in Salah. What other days do you tend to say Allahu Akbar on? Yes. On the day of Eid. وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ Right? What other days, when else do you say Allahu Akbar? Huh? When you slaughter an animal. What is in common with all these things? Why do we say Allahu Akbar in these events? Why not Subhanallah? Why not Alhamdulillah? There's so many other ways to remember him. But why do we declare the greatness of Allah on these days? The answer is going to come from you. Okay, we said, okay, human. But why specifically in Eid? Okay, Eid is a celebration. But why would you need to say Allahu Akbar when you're celebrating something? Yes. Mm-hmm. You're nearly there. You're very close. Yes. Not quite. Yes. Mm-hmm. MashaAllah, I love this. I love this. What's your name? Umar, MashaAllah. I like your answers. You should keep coming and sit in the front always. Okay? So if the two big sheikhs don't come, then you come as a substitute. I like it, MashaAllah. You like it? You like my jokes? Alhamdulillah. At least some people laugh at my jokes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets us to say Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater, greatest. Specifically after we complete acts of worship. The companions of the Prophet narrate in Bukhari and Muslim that when the Prophet, peace be upon him, would complete his prayer, Salah, Salaamu Alaikum Rahmatullah, Salaamu Alaikum Rahmatullah, what's the first thing they'd hear him say? Allahu Akbar. When we complete 30 days of fasting, then Allah on Eid wants us to say? Allahu Akbar. When we complete 10 days, the best 10 days of the year, the greatest days of worship, and we celebrate on Eid, Allah wants us to say? Allah Akbar. Do you know why? One of the reasons. When you complete 30 days of fasting, you start to think, you know what? I'm the boss. I'm a sick guy. I'm big Don. 30 days of fasting. 18 hours of no food and drink. Who's as great as me? You start to get a feeling, small feeling in your heart, little Fir'aun whispering to you. You're amazing. You're invincible. You're so righteous. And that is why Allah wants us, when we complete an act of worship, to say, Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater. If it wasn't for Him, I would not have been doing any of this. He is greater than what I put forward for Him. Whatever I put forward is like one pence compared to what He deserves. This is the saying Allahu Akbar humbles you with regard to what you submitted to Him. Imagine you're at university. There's an assignment due. And the assignment that's due, 8,000 words assignment. And you come on that day and you submit a document with 3 words. How are you going to feel on that day? You're going to wish that you disappeared. You're going to wish that a genie came and he rubbed his lamp, wal-iyadu billah, and you just disappeared in thin air. You are not going to be feeling very great about yourself. Because you realize that what you put forward was nothing, was insignificant. This is how we should feel about our deeds. Worshipping Allah and putting forward things in front of Him, for Him, in service, in worship, in sacrifice, should not make us proud about our deeds. It should make us humble that, you know what I did? I don't even know if it was worth anything. The day of sacrifice, the day of Eid, the day of sacrifice, is the day that Muslims around the world will sacrifice an animal in remembering their father Ibrahim as he sacrificed, as he was willing to sacrifice his son. But when we say Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd, we are reminding ourselves constantly, whatever I have sacrificed for Allah, be it time, be it money, be it blood, sweat and tears, it was nothing in comparison to what He deserves. He deserves more than what I put. Saying Allahu Akbar makes us feel shame. That whatever I did in front of Allah, can I really say it was something that deserves acceptance? It humbles you. When Allah describes believers in the Quran, He says, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةً. They are people who submit things to Allah while their hearts are trembling in fear. وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. Their hearts are trembling in fear that if I return to Allah, will He even have accepted this deed? I don't even know. This is the spirit of, you know, in Medina, there is this idea of the hypocrite, the pretend believer, somebody who is does all the actions, but inside they're a disbeliever. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, Allah reveals to him the names of the disbelievers. And he goes and tells one person, Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman. And Umar ibn al-Khattab comes running. And he asks Hudhayfa, I don't want to know who's on the list, but just tell me, am I on the list? Am I a hypocrite? Can you imagine? Umar ibn al-Khattab thought he was a hypocrite. Radiallahu anhu. He underestimated himself. And we overestimate ourselves. This is the spirit of Allahu Akbar. Any good that you do, it was because of the greatness of Allah. You are not great. It was the greatness of Allah reflecting in your deeds, but you are not great. Humble yourself. Stand down. Bow down. Put your head on the ground. You know, in South Asian culture, where I'm from, the most respectful element of a person is their head. And that is why, even before Islam and before, you know, the most respectful thing of a man was his turban. And when a man is really disrespected, he takes off his turban because he cannot handle what has just happened to himself. That is the respect. You know, that is the symbol of respect, symbol of dignity and pride. And the whole purpose of salah, the culmination of salah, is when you put this head on the floor. You would not do that for anybody else. It is a mark of humiliation. But this is exactly the meaning of Allahu Akbar. Allah is so great and I'm so small that I'm going to put my head on the floor. And when you put your head on the floor, what do you say? Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Glory be to my Lord, the Most High. As I have lowered myself to the lowest position on earth, my head's on the floor. I acknowledge that my Lord is the Most High. I am the lowest, He is the highest. And this is very significant because when Allah talks about His name Al-Kabir in the Quran, He always pairs it with His name Al-Ali, the highest. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيًّا كَبِيرًا. Allah is the highest and the greatest. Al-Kabir, Al-Muta'al, the great and the high. Because this is something that was used to describe kings and your eminence, your greatness, your highness, your highness. And these are the words that we now only describe our Maker. Because He is the one we bow down in front of, we submit in front of. This is the spirit of Ibrahim alayhi salam. That he understood the greatness of Allah to such an extent, he was willing to do anything for His sake. And you know, it was easier if Allah told him to kill himself. It would have been easier if Allah told him, give a knife to someone, let them kill your son. But Allah asked him the hardest thing for him to do. Really, there was nothing harder, which is to take a knife in his own hand and slaughter his own child with his own hand. And that is the greatest of all sacrifices. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. His sacrifice was really something that could not be calculated. It is so great, you cannot imagine it. Knowing Allah is the greatest means you are inspired to do the greatest things for Him. When you know a cause is great, when you know the purpose is great, you are willing to really go the extra mile. When something is small for you, insignificant, unimportant, you're not willing to spend some time. Somebody calls you, I want to meet you, I have this request from you. And in your mind you think, who is this guy? I don't even know who he is. And you think to yourself, you know what? I'm not going to give him 5 minutes of my day. I'm too busy. I'm too important for them. But imagine somebody you greatly respect calls you. A king, the imam, the tribal leader, the chief calls you. You feel honored just the fact that they called you. And you feel like dropping everything to go and sit with them. If they said, I'm popping by your house, you would drop everything to come and sit with them because you understand the greatness that they have. This is the spirit of the call to prayer, starting with, Allah is the greatest. Because it's actually saying something slightly different. Drop everything. Because the greatest one is awaiting your meeting with Him. Drop everything. If today the mayor of this city popped around to your house and knocked the door, you would drop everything. Okay, you know, the mayor's outside. If the police turned up to your door, you would already be having a triple speed heartbeat as you walk to the door. You would drop everything to go and see because someone great, someone esteemed, someone respectful, and you are already in awe, already in fear, already in respect. You are humbled in front of them. You know, one time, my father was in a conference, an Islamic conference, and he was with a group of people, and somebody told them that now the sheikh, the ruler of this city, has invited you to his palace. He was with two other men. They got so excited, they forgot their shoes in the conference, and they walked barefoot into the van, into the taxi. And they ended up in the palace of the ruler of this country barefoot. And looking at each other, how did this happen? How did we end up barefoot? When someone of eminence, of greatness, of respect invites you, you forget everything. Forget your name. What's your name? I swear I knew this 3 minutes ago, but I really don't know my name right now. Greatness makes you drop everything. But when we hear the call to prayer, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater, Allah is greater, we don't feel like dropping anything. Because we don't know of the grandeur and the greatness and the highness and the eminence of the one who is being described. We think he's our friend, our mate, merciful, nice creator. We don't realize he's also the great. He's also severe in punishment. He's also powerful. He requires respect, humility. And you know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised the greatest punishment in the Quran for the one who has pride. Who can tell me what that punishment is? No, not Jahannam. Before Jahannam happens. Yes. If you give me this, Habibi, from me, you have a £30 cash prize. No, he lost the answer. Yes. Okay, this is true. There's not what I'm thinking about. But yes, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment reveal his shin, that then the arrogant, the proud person cannot prostrate, will not be able to prostrate in front of Allah. But that's not quite it is. Allah promises in the Quran something really scary. Yes. No. Ah. The cash prize was only for him, yeah? Sorry. سأصرف عن آياتي الذين يتكبرون في الأرض بغير الحق. I will actively turn away from my signs whoever walks on this earth with pride and arrogance. وإن يروا كل آية لا يؤمنوا بها. And if they saw every sign, every miracle of mine, they would still not believe. This is the consequence of pride. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالُ حَبَّةٍ مِنْ خَرْدَلٍ مِنْ كِبْرٍ. None will enter paradise who has an atom's weight of pride and arrogance in their heart. This is the danger. Because when you are arrogant, when you are proud, you are pretending to be something you are not. You are not great. You are nothing. Allah is the greatest. And that whoever walks without that humility, who walks with that pride and arrogance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show them. And now let us come to our... Yes. Yes, beautiful. As Allah describes in the Quran, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. They did not give Allah the respect, the estimation He deserved. Now let us come to that second point I mentioned, point of relevance. We are in the month that is celebrated as Pride Month. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. We seek Allah's protection. Is the month, what are people proud about in this month? What are they celebrating? They are celebrating the fact that human beings have elevated themselves to the status of God such that they say, I'm the boss, I decide what's right and wrong, and I will celebrate my decisions and no one can tell me otherwise. This arrogance and this pride was always a sin. And this arrogance and pride will have consequences. It will create confusion. It will create corruption. People will be lost. They will not know who they are, where they are, and what they are. Confused between selecting which gender for themselves, as though they're standing in front of the a la carte menu at a restaurant, not knowing which of the many letters am I today. This is what pride gives you. Pride is not something that we should be proud about, because the Prophet promises that you will never enter paradise if you have an iota of pride. Human beings should learn today to humble themselves. Human beings struggle today to even govern a country. How can they decide how to govern themselves? Right and wrong morality. The greatest questions, what is right and what is wrong? Is that something you wake up in the morning and then by evening you've changed your mind? Is that something so relative, like 30 years ago it was prohibited, outlawed, and 30 years later, let's celebrate it. How does that work? Where does the line stop then? What are we going to celebrate tomorrow? Bestiality? What are we going to celebrate tomorrow? Pedophilia? Are we to be proud of that? Are we to be proud of this kind of vulgar and this kind of, you know, immoral and indecent behavior? That's not something that we can be proud about as Muslims. And that's not something that we can endorse. But this is the trajectory that humanity is going towards. And what you will see and what you will notice is a return to the old school laws, the old school rules, as people struggle to cope with this new world where there are no rules. You go today on the London Underground and you'll see a sign that if you look at another woman, it can be considered sexual harassment. You think, really? I'm sure that was in the Quran somewhere, that I should be lowering my eyes. Today in workplaces, if you go in workplaces, it is discouraged for a man, woman to be in the same room on their own. I'm sure that came in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Any man and woman are alone with each other except the shaitan is the third. What is this strange return to the old laws, the old rules? When humanity has this emptiness, there's no right and wrong anymore. We are the bosses, we decide what we want. That will only lead to one thing and one thing only, the emptiness and the destruction and the loss of purpose, which is what we see today. The highest rates of depression, the highest rates of suicide, of divorce that we have ever seen in the history of humanity. And that will only cause human beings to return, we hope, to the one ship of salvation. That is the ship of La ilaha illallah, submission and humility and not pride. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a few years from now, that this month becomes month of humility. And that is celebrated. The month that we humble ourselves in front of our Creator. How many submarines, how many ships, how many Titanics are we waiting to sink for us to realize? How many COVIDs are we waiting for us to realize that our place in the cosmos, in the universe, is this? We are nothing. And really our place is to declare the greatness of our Creator. This is the spirit of these 10 days. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Walillahi alhamd. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, they used to go to the markets, the busy places of the city, and they used to recite takbir loudly and people would recite after them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to declare His greatness on the days where you see the Muslim ummah, the nation, This multicultural nation, when you see them gathered on the day of Eid, it really is a sight to be beheld. When you see them gathered on the day of Arafah, it is a sight to see. You realize the greatness of Allah. You realize how small you are. In the sea of hundreds of thousands of people standing on the mountain and calling to Allah, you realize you are nothing. This is the realization we come to in these days. This is the realization Ibrahim alayhi salam teaches us. Don't overestimate yourself. Submit. Humble yourself to Allah the Most High. That is the life. That is the free life. That is the life of peace. That is the life of contentment and happiness. Contentment and happiness is not freedom as they describe it today, which means to do as you want with what you want. Freedom is the freedom to submit to Allah. That is the life that brings peace and contentment to all human beings. As Allah says in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا. Whoever turns away from my remembrance, they will live a miserable life. وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. And we will raise them up on the Day of Judgment blind. قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. They will say, oh Allah, why did you raise me blind when I used to be able to see? And Allah will say, كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا. My signs came to you and you forgot them, you didn't see them, and today you'll be forgotten as well. And just before I finish, just as a disclaimer so that I don't get arrested or don't get in legal trouble, as Muslims we are not homophobic. We do not wish harm on anybody. But we call a spade a spade. If something is wrong and indecent, we say it's indecent. We consider it indecent. That's our opinion. We have the freedom to say and to express our religious beliefs. We don't mean harm on anybody. We also consider relationship outside of marriage indecent between man and woman. That doesn't mean we want to harm anybody. That's just our opinion. And we will stand by that. And we hope to die by that. And we hope to be resurrected by that. And if all the other religions decided to change their minds on these rules, then we would hope to be the ones who stand by them until the very day that we are resurrected. We don't celebrate pride. We celebrate humility. We celebrate that Allah is the greatest, not us. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Wallahu Akbar. Wa lillahi alhamd. Before we finish, yes. Pride is the promise of the devil.
Yeah.
Pride is shaitan's promise to Allah. Wastakbara.
Changing the creation of Allah. Shaitan's.
Yes, this is also shaitan's promise. The idea of changing the creation of Allah and deforming the creation of Allah. May Allah protect us from what's happening today. And may Allah protect our children from these ideas. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to die and be resurrected, standing firm by our beliefs. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are humble and who have humility in front of Him, in our salah, outside our salah. May Allah make us of those who in these days, in these 10 days, remember the grandeur and the greatness of Allah and humble ourselves in front of Him. There's just a few minutes until Salatul Isha, so I will leave you to prepare. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.